Blog Talk Radio.
It's time to get the conversation started. Young Adults Talk presents Breaking Change, You Talk. Let's sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and how they feel about the society they live in today. It's Breaking Change, You Talk, every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy the conversation being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions. All right, all right, all right. Welcome, welcome, welcome. God bless you. I greet you in the name of God the Father, God the Son, Jesus the Christ, God the Holy Spirit. I pray all is well with you all throughout the land, wherever you're listening. I pray everything is good. Welcome to Breaking Chains. It's Youth Talk. It's time to talk to our young people, and they need to talk to us. So we're going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Before we go any further, let us humble ourselves and go before the throne of God in prayer. Most gracious and merciful Father, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord God, for opening our eyes, for breathing our bodies, to see your beautiful creation another day, Lord God, as we're led of the Holy Spirit. Lord God, we bow down and ask you to forgive us for our sins and our unrighteousness, Father God. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity right now, Lord God. Bless the airways, Father God. Bless all of our young people this afternoon, Father God. Put a hedge of protection around us all, Lord God. And thank you for your wings of love, Lord God. Father God, let understanding come out of the conversation today, Father God. Let us open our hearts and minds to receive what our young people have to say to us, Lord God. And it's time to make a change. Let's bridge the gap right now, Lord God. Let it happen, Father God. Let the process start right now in the name of Jesus. Watch over us, guide us, and lead us, Lord God, as we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Everybody suit up. Put on your full armor of God. It's time for YAT Radio to sign on. Breaking Chains is on. It's time for You Talk. Let's get it, y'all.
What up? What up?
Beat champ. Beat champ.
Our God giving us all spiritual gifts. Some apostles.
The church with me, the streets rhyme. I'm turned up, can't turn me down. Been rain since 99. Switched up my flow,
my flow.
Now
my
rest
flow.
For God.
God.
They saying I'm doing the most, but I'm just doing my job.
My job.
I'm slanging hope, no dope. Real talk, no facade.
Yeah.
Giving them something they can believe in. They can never say that I ain't tried.
Yeah.
Say mad, no why.
Why.
Cause all these souls I'ma reach. All these children I'ma teach.
Teach.
Ain't gotta be on stage or behind a pulpit to go preach.
No.
With a microphone in my hand.
Uh-huh.
All in the stand. They think it's me, but he me. It's he who sent me. You don't understand. I'm a grace made man. Still commanded to lead. Still commanded to lead. So I go hard for what I believe. I'm off the hinge.
Off the hinge.
We broke the knob.
Broke the knob.
Crowd super excited, man. And it's all for God. All for God. Holy Spirit in the atmosphere. Give him a round of applause.
Round of applause.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm showing love.
I'm showing love.
With me, the church rhyme, St. James, yeah, the building, safe harbor, true divine, with God in you, you'll truly shine, with the faith the size of a mustard dime, plant the seed, watch it grow, with a little water and sunshine, God is good, all the time, I was lost, but now found, with the clear vision, I was blind, he turned around on the common ground, I'm looking up, why he looking down, turned up and ain't turning down, I left my way, trying to come around, but I said, look here, I'm turning it down, it's God work, God search, family second, God first, he did it once, he'll do it again, this ain't too much talking, it's God's word. I want a God's son, that's God's son. Take another path, had an option. Put a little effort, take a couple steps. I promise you, he'll get the job done. Yeah, he saved me, it's amazing. Gotta praise him, lift my head, my arms are raising. Truly blessed, yeah,
you got to know.
You got to know.
Truly get this, so ambitious. I'm a witness, he stay with me on the ministry mission. With this gift that's in me,
come. I'm showing up, the church with me. I gave a speech, grind.
crazy. I heard somebody say we living in the last days. I got my mind made up, I'ma stay prayed up, running for the Lord, that's gonna make them devils hate us. Talking to my Savior, I'm thankful for your blessings. I remember when the struggles of the street had me stressing. Not worried about that limelight, I finally got my mind right. Led by the Spirit, got me feeling it in hindsight. Second Samuel told me you can't run when God calling. Women, drugs, money, yeah, I thought that I was ballin'. But what about them lost souls that need preaching? A lot of pastors preaching, but how many really teaching? A message for the deacon, choir member, and the usher. The enemy wanna deceive you, but the Father really loves you. So no matter your age, your gender, your color, we all in God's army. You my sisters and my brothers, I love you.
I'm showing love, I'm showing love.
You're listening to Breaking Chains. Call in live during the show at 858-357-9137.
And listen live on our website at youngadultstalk.org.
All right. It's time to kick the show off. Breaking Chains Youth Talk on this Friday. What's going on with you? I am your co-host, Pastor Rod. And this is the show where we're going to talk to our young people. And we're going to listen to them. They're going to have conversations about things that are going on in their lives as well. And we want you to tune in every Friday, support our young people, listen to them, and hear what they have to say. So enough of me said, it's now time for me to turn the microphone over to our youth. All right, good afternoon, ladies. I know y'all are there. Welcome. It's time to break chains. The microphone is yours.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope everybody's having a great Friday today. So I'm here. It's me, and Layla and Jakira is on. Anaya Orfisi is not on with us today. But today we're going to be talking about police brutality, and I know we've touched base on similar topics before, but I just feel like in light of, you know, the recent events with, you know, Derek Chauvin's case, who murdered George Floyd, and Dante Wright, and also the girl, I think her name was Makai or Michaela, I can't exactly remember right now, but who was shot by a police officer. I feel like in light of those situations, we should, you know, shed a direct light on those things. And, you know, going back to, it wasn't last week because we didn't do the show, last week, but week before last, we had said that we kind of wanted to do a lighter topic because, you know, we do some topics that, you know, hit hard and are very meaningful. And to some people, not all people, but it can be, you know, almost traumatizing to talk about. So, you know, this week is kind of one of more of those deeper and more traumatizing and more, you know, heart-touching subjects because I know, you know, this police brutality thing, it's kind of a hard thing, you know, as a black person, it's a hard thing to talk about and because I see it happening in front of my own eyes and I never know if I'm next or what could happen to me, and I have to, you know, kind of have some type of fear when I go out of my house every day. Like, you know, just an example, Dante Wright, he got pulled over for a traffic stop, or I think that's what it was, I'm pretty sure. And he got pulled over, and he was then shot because a police officer who had been working there, I'm not sure the exact number of years she had worked in the police force, but she was a veteran police officer that worked there for a long time. She apparently got a taser and a gun mixed up, and so he ended up losing his life. And today I had to drive because I'm taking driver's ed right now, and I had to drive, and you know, I was just being I had to be more cautious than normal being a black woman because I don't know if the police say pull me over, if I'm gonna, that's gonna happen to me next. So I kind of feel like that's why this is important to talk about, because you know, not only me but my friends and other people listen to this, because I know there is probably a lot of black people or people of color listening to this. So that's kind of why I wanted to shed light, because this is affecting us in our day-to-day lives and how we go about our lives every single day. So, yeah, first off, I want to kind of start, because the what really made me want to talk about this was obviously Derek Chauvin's case for the murder of George Floyd. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I was saying, you know, there should be no case. There was live video of him, you know, being, of him, George Floyd, being murdered. So there should be no case. Obviously, like, I've learned a lot, because my grandma, she's been watching it, like, well, when it was going on, she was watching, like, every day on her TV. So I learned so much about this case. That because last time we had, you know, the show, I was like, I'm not confident enough to talk about this situation because I haven't really, you know, learned too much about it, and it's still going on. So I want to wait until after it's kind of like over to talk about it. So this week, you know, it would be perfect to talk about it because it's over, and then there have been, you know, more events brought to light. So, you know, kind of starting with that, I definitely don't necessarily think there shouldn't have been a case because, you know, when I was watching on my grandma's TV, one of the, I think it was either the judge or a legal correspondent, they were saying that, you know, even if they did actively commit the crime, you know, everybody still deserves due process. But even then, they were trying to, you know, put a spin on it like, oh, maybe he didn't do this when we all know he did it. And then the crazy part was, I know me and my mom and my sister, we were kind of, and Jakira, I remember Jakira, she watched it as they were delivering the verdict. We were kind of somewhat scared that there would be a not guilty, which was crazy. Because, I mean, it's crazy, though, because we saw the man get killed. Other people saw the man get killed. And we were just afraid that there was going to be a not guilty verdict, which is crazy because... If you see someone get killed, you shouldn't have to be scared that their murderer is going to, you know, roam free, which is just crazy to think about to me, because I was thinking about it when, because my grandma's nurse was also over here a little while before they delivered the verdict, and they were talking about how we don't know if it's going to be, you know, not guilty or guilty or whatever, and that's just, no, that's just crazy to me. I don't know if that's just me thinking about it, but... Because I feel like there was no, he was guilty beyond, way beyond reasonable doubt, in my opinion. And I feel like, you know, going back to, you know, how I said there should be no trial, you know, white people, especially white men, they get this privilege that black people don't get. Like, you know, how we said he was guilty way beyond reasonable doubt. But if that was a black man who had killed another black man, he probably would have had a much more speedy, and I get that, you know, it was different because Derek Chauvin was a police officer, but he would have probably had a much more speedy trial, and he would have been in and out, he would have been in the court and into jail like that. But since it was a white male police officer and all those things had to be taken into account, it was so much different. And I feel like, you know, going back to when we were talking about the justice system, that just proves that there is something wrong with our justice system. And that's where it all starts, in my opinion. Because, you know, when we talked about the justice system, we also did talk about the police force. But, you know, going back to that, that is where it all starts, it all stems from. And like Reverend Rod said, also when we talked about the justice system, it stems with our laws and what's wrong with our laws. And then that just goes back to slavery. So to me, like, you know, everything is linking up, and it's like a, I don't want to say, I'm looking, it's a word I'm looking forward to describe that. It'll probably come to me later. But everything just links up, and it's just crazy how all these things link up. And, like, it just makes it harder for us to abolish the system that is so against us. Oh, and I've been talking for a while, so anybody else want to add input to anything I just said so far?
I've been saying a lot.
I feel like everything do link up, and I do think it's crazy how a lot of people were scared that he was going to be not guilty, even though they had all the evidence to prove him guilty, and we were still scared that he would be not guilty, because in a lot of other cases, it was seen right in front of them, and like evidence right in front of them, and they proves a police officer not guilty in other cases. So I just feel like that was a part of the reason why everyone was still scared. And it's crazy how we couldn't even, like, enjoy a day to, like, enjoy that George Floyd got justice, because the same day Makaia Bryant, I think that was her name, she got killed the same day because she was trying to call the police for help, and they came and killed her when she needed help. And a lot of people was like, oh, she had a knife. She had a knife, so the police actually saved the other girl's life. But I feel like it's other things that they could have done instead of shot her. Like, they got a taser, they got pepper spray. And I just feel like he got straight out the car and shot her. Like, he didn't even try to, like, break it up or nothing. And I just feel like it's no reason why you should kill a 16-year-old girl because she had a knife. And she was the one getting jumped. And she was just trying to defend herself. Okay, right here.
Yeah, and I definitely agree. And one thing, you know, going back to the George Floyd, the Derek Chauvin case, what Jakira said was, you know, that George Floyd got justice. But one thing I heard from George Floyd's family members was saying that they didn't feel like justice was the appropriate word. Even though Derek Chauvin was sentenced, George Floyd didn't get justice, because in order for him to have justice, he would still be here living today. So I definitely think that they were saying that they definitely think, you know, he was served. Derek Chauvin was rightfully put in jail and all of that. But still, there can be no justice if there was still a black man murdered or a black girl murdered. And then back on the Makaia Bryant case, or Makaia, I think that's her name, I'm not completely sure. But, you know, they were saying how he shot her. And one thing I've always thought about, like, as long as I've known what police brutality was, which has been a lot of my life because I've been told about it, you know, growing up, I've always thought, you know, why do police take such extreme measures, especially against, you know, young children, like, you know, Makaia Bryant and, you know, Tavon Martin and stuff like that. Why do they shoot them, especially somewhere that is fatal? Like, you know, that's just crazy to me. Like, I get if someone has a gun on you, it's trying to shoot you. From the police officer's perspective, that is very much so understandable. But she was a 16-year-old girl with a knife. And there are people who work in the public school system that have been able to break up fights between 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds, whatever, who have had knives or guns or whatever, and they're not even qualified. They haven't been to police school. They haven't had any official training, but have been able to break up fights between, you know, 16-year-olds, 17-year-olds. So why is it that a police officer who's supposed to be trained to protect us can't do that without killing somebody in the process? That's just crazy to me. And, like, it's just the fact that I think about the fact that my mom, she used to be a middle school teacher. She probably could have went out there and handled that situation way better than that. No, not even probably. I know she could have handled that situation way better than that police officer did. And it's just the fact that, you know, when black people of color and black people have, you know, knives and weapons, they don't try to de-escalate the situation. But when there's school shootings that involve white men, and I don't remember the white dude's name, but he was some white dude who was shooting up a black church, and they de-escalated the situation. Then they took him out to get food, and then they helped him clean up his mess that he made in the church. So it's just crazy to me that he had I don't know what kind of gun it was, I don't know types of guns, but he had a big gun. He was shooting black people who were innocent in a church, and while they were praying, because he waited for them to start praying so they could close their eyes to shoot them. And the police de-escalated the situation, helped him out, and then took him to go get food. But when a black girl is using a knife as self-defense, it's a problem, and she's dead. Or when a white child is shooting up, you know, a school with hundreds of innocent kids, oh, he had a mental health issue. But when a black girl is trying to protect herself, oh, she was violent, she had a knife. But even then, people always say, oh, they were violent. Or like Dante Wright, he owned a gun. Okay, it doesn't matter if someone is being violent or is guilty of a crime. They still do not deserve to die. And the only reason someone deserves to be shot at is if they are trying to actively shoot or harm a police officer. 9 times out of 10, these people, they even if they do have weapons, they didn't deserve what they deserve. Or like in George Floyd's case, they tried to say, oh, well, before he, a couple hours before he got his neck kneeled on, he had did drugs and he also had a heart problem. Even if that was the case and that is what killed him, that act should not have happened. And they were saying, oh, well, that's something that they learn in police training. Well, then that's where we need to start. That should not be something that they're learning in police training to do. They should not be learning to do that in the first place. And of all things, like I said, when we were also, this all kind of connects with when we were talking about the justice system. We need to refine and, you know, like I said, when people say defund the police, not take away all the police's money, but put that money into better training or, you know, better ways to de-escalate situations instead of pulling out your gun and shooting somebody that fatally kills or injures them. Because that's really the problem. And, you know, people try to spin it as, oh, it's not a race thing. But, you know, some police officers say that they have learned to be more alert and more, you know, black people are more high risk. That's what they're taught. So, you know, it is a race thing, in my opinion. And, you know, like I said, it might not be all police, but it's a majority, and that's what we're seeing. And, you know, I'm not bashing police officers. I'm not saying, oh, police officers are horrible and bad. I'm not bashing all police officers or anything, but that is the majority of police officers, and there's something wrong with the system. And also, like, one more note before I let somebody else talk, because I know I'm, like, going on a rant. But also, the lady who killed Dante Wright, I can't remember her name, but the lady who killed Dante Wright, when she murdered him, when she had got out on bail, when she was at her house, they had her house gated up, you know, police officers standing outside to protect her, which is crazy. I mean, I get it. She does not deserve to die either. Nobody deserves to die in these situations. But it's just crazy that, you know, she was given police protection and supervision and all of that. And, you know, they let her quit the police force before they fired her. Like, they gave her time to quit, which is just crazy. But, yeah, that was a lot. So if anybody else got something to add, you can go ahead.
Oh, I wanted to say that police definitely have way too much power, especially over our lives. Like, the lady who, she claimed that she mixed up her taser and her gun. As a police officer, you shouldn't be making those type of mistakes. That's not a mistake that you should just make. Like, if a doctor is doing some type of surgery on me and they say, oh, well, I messed up or I did this, you have a whole degree. You shouldn't just be messing up something like that. That's not something that you should mess up, and that doctor would lose their job. They would get their degree taken from them. And doctors have to go, they have to go to school for a long period of time because they're being put in a position over somebody's lives. And police officers are also being put in a position over somebody's lives when they're able to just go out on the street with guns and put it to somebody's head and shoot them or anything like that. So they should definitely be going to school way longer than academy or whatever. Way longer than what they are doing currently, because it's no reason for them to be going to school for this little period of time and then coming shooting black people and saying, oh, I mixed up my taser and my gun. That shouldn't be a thing. Like, why are you mixing up your taser and your gun? This is your job. You shouldn't be doing something like that. And also, I forgot my train of thought. When stuff like this happen all the time, the first thing I think of is, what if that person was white? That shouldn't be something that I have to think about. What if that person was white? They probably would still be alive. If the girl Micaiah, if she was white, would she still have got shot? Probably not. And that's really sad because she's the one who called the police officer. Regardless of what she had in her hand, She was clearly trying to protect herself. She's the one who called the police officer. She needed help. They shouldn't have just came in and shot her. They should have done something before that, before guns got pulled out at all. Because if she was white, they wouldn't have probably put their hand on a gun at all. And that's really sad to think about.
Oh, and I just wanted to say, in any instance, a police is quick to pull out a gun, like, in any instance. But I reverted back to what Layla said, how she was like, but to reverse that, about how Derek Chauvin had his knee on George Floyd's neck. Even if he did have his knee on George Floyd's neck, I feel like he had it on that for a long period of time. Like, it could have been, he didn't have to have his knee on his neck that long. Like, he could have just held him down and put the handcuffs on, and they would have been okay. And like Ray said, whenever it's a white person, it's always saying they got mental health issues. When they just always say that, but like, I feel like that don't be the case. They always try to sugarcoat what a white person do, but then when a black person do it, it's bad.
So,
yeah. Oh, I also wanted to add on about the mental health, which Jakir was just talking about. A lot of the time, don't white people don't even be having mental health issues. They just want to throw that on them to protect them. And a lot of the time, they downplay black people's mental health issues. They really downplay black people's mental health issues, like they just don't have them, or it's not serious, or they don't take it serious. And they try to they don't try to help them or put them in a mental hospital or anything like that. But when it comes to a white person, it's always mental health issues. No matter what the situation was, it's always mental health issues. A little white boy shoot up the school, mental health issues. And it doesn't matter what the situation is, it's mental health issues. And they don't do that with black people. Even when it's clear, when they've been told and they know that this person has mental health issues, it doesn't matter to them.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Like Ray said,
go ahead, girl. Go ahead.
Oh, like Ray said about the case where the police officer got her taser and her gun mixed up. I feel like she should take accountability for that, and I feel like she shouldn't have deserved bail, and that she should have got fired right then and there. Like how Ray said, they gave her time to quit. And I seen a video about how a gun and a taser weighs different. Like a taser is way lighter than a gun. So I just feel like that wasn't the case, how she got them mixed up.
Yeah, and then going back to what Layla was saying about, you know, black people's mental health, I don't know if anybody remembers, this was like a couple months ago, but there was a little girl. And, you know, I don't remember her race. I don't know if she was black or white, but it doesn't really matter in the relevance of what I'm talking about. But, you know, she was coming to the police about her mental health because she didn't know what else to do. And I can't remember. They, like, tased her or shot her or something. I don't remember. So it's, like, just the fact that they don't really care about people's mental health. And even, like, there are some people who are actually mentally ill that they have still, because, you know, sometimes people who have a mental illness may not be able to comprehend, you know, instructions or police's orders, or might be more sensitive or whatever the case may be. They are different than, you know, the average human being. So, you know, that sounded wrong. They are not different, but, you know, there are some ways that they process information that are different. So police don't even take that into account. So, you know, at this point, we do know that police are just using mental health as an excuse to help out white males. They are just using this as an excuse because they don't really care about, I'm not going to say, oh, you know, of course, but they're not really caring about the actual mental health. They're just saying this, you know, as an excuse to, once again, help out the white male, in my opinion. Because, you know, if you really cared about people's mental health and whether or not people were mentally healthy, you know, once again, in the situation of black people, you would de-escalate the situation before getting violent. And then going back to what Jakira said about, you know, they shouldn't be on his neck for that long, I just wanted to add that they were on his neck for, I'm pretty sure, I think it was like 9 minutes or something like that. If someone is on your neck for 9 minutes, it doesn't matter if you're healthy. It doesn't matter if you are on drugs, off drugs. It doesn't matter. You're going to face some kind of breathing complication. So, and you're, and then it was to the point where he said he could not breathe. If someone is saying they could not breathe, why would you continue to use this force? It doesn't matter if, you know, I understand maybe that's what you were taught, but when a civilian is saying that they cannot breathe, then you should know that you should stop trying to restrain them like that and choose another way, in my opinion.
And there wasn't even any reason for him to be on his neck for that long because he wasn't fighting back. He didn't have any weapons. It was no reason for him to be on his neck that long. All he had to do was get him down, put him in handcuffs, and put him in the car or whatever they needed to do. He had absolutely no reason to be down there for that long. He had already restrained him, and after he's restrained, what else are you holding this man down for? He's not even trying to fight you, fight back. He has no weapons or anything like that. Also, wanted to say I saw this. It kind of sound messed up, but it was this news reporter, and he was a white man. He said that white people aren't going to take this police thing. They're not going to take this police thing really serious until their kids and families are the ones being killed by these police. They're not going to take it serious until it's them in our shoes. And even though that sounds really messed up, it kind of is the truth, because even though there's been like white people who've gotten killed, it hasn't been to the extent that it has with people of color, especially for no absolute reason. And they're not going to ever take it serious or see it in our eyes until it's happening to them.
And like Layla said, Paul, the problem's not going to get resolved until it happens to the white person. And like a lot of people always saying, well, don't resist whenever it comes to a black person getting killed. When in almost all of these videos, nobody is resisting. And the list just go on and on of black names. And they find an excuse for every name on the list when it shouldn't be that case. If the list is that long of police killing black people for no absolute reason, I feel like that's proof right there that it's really a problem.
Mm. And, wow. And then what you're saying, people say, you know, don't resist. Well, if someone is coming up, because I watched, me, Jakira, and Layla all watched it together, actually. You know, it's a Netflix short called Two Distant Strangers about a black man and a police officer. And basically, you know, not trying to, you know, spoil it, but basically what happens is no matter what the black man does to try to escape, he's repeating the same day over, and a white police officer keeps killing him several different ways. So, you know, what I've seen in that is that basically what I'm trying to say is if someone is grabbing you and saying, you know, get down on the ground, you're under arrest, or do this, do that, you're going to be confused and saying, well, what did I do? Why are you telling me to do these things? I know my rights, stuff like that. And then also, I wanted to ask this a little bit earlier, but I forgot to say it. But in a lot of other countries, like I know Japan is one example, their police officers don't even carry guns. So I feel like if their police officers aren't carrying guns and there's not as much crime there as it is in the United States, then that's obviously something that they're doing right. Because police officers don't carry guns, civilians, nobody has guns there. So I feel like if they have a very low, you know, crime rate, then there's got to be something they're doing right. And I'm not saying, you know, because it is one of the amendments that people have their right, you know, to have their firearms. But I just feel like, you know, there should be some heavier gun laws and heavier requirements to get guns and, you know, restrictions on what guns and weapons that police officer has. Because, you know, weapons are, and, you know, not all people die because of weapons, for example, George Floyd. But weapons are a part of this problem. And because, you know, police have these weapons, they feel like they are above the law. And actually, I remember learning about this in history class But, you know, they made a law to tell police officers and presidents that they are not above the law. They are, you know, just like any other civilian. They are under the law, and they should, you know, respect laws. And so I think police officers may do this when it comes to, you know, other laws, but they don't think about laws like, you know, murder and stuff like that. They always feel like they are above the law. And I think in some circumstances they are because, you know, police officers, their sentencing is way different than a normal person's sentencing would be. It's way more difficult to sentence a police officer than it is to sentence, you know, a regular person. And, you know, this just goes back to, it's crazy that when I was little, like when I was in elementary school, I didn't even know that police officers could go to jail. I thought if a police officer committed a crime, they would just get away with it because they were police officers. And that's crazy for me to think that. But, you know, to some extent, that thought is kind of true because some police officers do commit crimes and do get away with it simply based off the fact that they are a police officer. So I just think it's crazy that the way I saw in elementary school has come full circle. Go ahead, Jakira.
Oh, it's Layla. I wanted to ask two things. One thing about the resistance thing, and in a lot of situations where white people, most of the time, them white people are resistant, and the police never, ever pull out a gun on them. But when it comes to black people, they're always telling us not to resist, when they're always resistant and never get a gun pulled out on them. And even if we're resistant, especially if we don't have any type of weapons on us, a gun shouldn't be pulled out. And also, I wanted to add something about how you said that there should be heavier laws on with police officers and guns. I was trying to say how, like, when they get calls for, like, certain situations, some situations they don't need a gun, so they shouldn't take a gun with them. If they get a call for a small thing and nobody on the scene has a weapon or anything like that, they don't need to take a gun with them. There's no reason for them to take a gun with them. Or if they're pulling someone over on the street, they don't need to have a gun with them. If they have a gun with them, they need to leave it in the car or something. Because if you're pulling somebody over, what do you have a gun on your side for? What do you have a gun on your side for pulling somebody over for running a red light, for not stopping at a stop sign? You don't need a gun for that. There's no reason for you to have a gun. Because 9 times out of 10, when it's a black person, that the gun gets pulled out on them. Or they tell the person to get out of the car, and they pull a gun out on them when there's no reason for them to do that. So they shouldn't have a gun with them in those certain situations because they don't need one.
Mm.
Okay. I want to say, like, most of the time police, if a black person is resisting, it's because the police didn't tell them why is this going on, like, why is this happening to me, why is that happening to them, or what is they getting pulled over for. And I've seen in some instances, police tend to plant things in your car, or like police do a lot of things that shouldn't be done. Like in the five boys in the park, I forgot what it's called. They try to get them to tell on each other. They try to get them to tell on each other, and I feel like that was the Central Park Five. They try to get them to tell on each other when some of them boys didn't even know each other, so they sat there and lied on each other and then felt guilty about it. And how one boy wasn't even supposed to go to the police station, and he stayed in the jail more than the other boys did. And I feel like none of them even deserved that when they were telling the truth all along, and the police was coming up with their own stories and interrogating them without their parents when they was underage. Yeah.
Okay.
And then you would be surprised about the number of people who are falsely convicted of crimes and serve their time. Like, Layla, her mom has a friend who was falsely accused of crime and served that time. So, you know, this just, you know, like I said, full circle to the justice system. When there's a problem, you know, there's like a problem with each system which causes this disconnect and causes these issues, which I feel like, you know, isn't being, because we always talk about, you know, and I feel like especially with black teenagers, we always talk about, you know, police brutality this, police brutality that, But we never talk about the root of the problem, which I feel like we should do more. And that's why we're kind of, like, you know, doing this podcast to talk about where the root of these problems come from. Because that's where they come from.
And reverting back to the Mekhi Bryant situation, Mekhi Bryant was only 16, so that really got me to wake up and start paying attention to what's really going on around me, because that really showed me that it can happen to anybody of any age. And that, like, really was close to me, because I'm 16 myself, and that could have been anybody. My friends are 16. Like, that could have been anybody, because the police just don't care.
Yeah, I think about that all the time. Like, actually, not too long ago, a police officer rolled by my house. Yesterday, I was outside with my little brother, and, you know, a police officer, you know, rolled by, and I kind of, like, felt my heart drop. And there's no reason why I should be scared or nervous around a police officer who is, you know, once again, kind of reiterating this, who is there to protect me, there for my safety, just like Mekhi Bryant said. He called the police, you know, because she was in danger. So, you know, and it's crazy that, you know, she got hurt by, you know, something that she thought was going to protect her. And I think I might have said this a while ago, but me, Layla Jakira, and my cousin Janiyah, we had gotten to, like, a minor accident. And, you know, we of course know if you get in an accident, you know, you're supposed to call, like, a car accident, you're supposed to call the police. But we were just very nervous to call the police because the people who we got in the, you know, minor accident with, they were white boys and we were black girls. So we didn't know how that was going to play out. So we were very, very nervous to call the police and just, you know, scared. And there's no reason why we should be scared when, you know, we just were in an accident and we could have been possibly injured or whatever. There's no reason that we should be scared to call somebody who was supposed to be there to resolve, you know, conflict and issues, you know. And, you know, when the police officer, because the other people who were involved, they called the police. And so when the police officers got there, we were kind of, you know, we kind of had a sigh of relief that, well, at least it was a black police officer, because if it was a white police officer, anything could have happened. And, you know, black police officers can be bad, too, and white police officers can be good. But, you know, we were just kind of, you know, a little less nervous. But there's no reason why we should have to fear calling the police in the first place. And like Jakira said, you know, Mekhi Bryant was a huge wake-up call for me, because Jakira, all my friends are 16, and I'm 15, which is, you know, pretty close. So, you know, I just, anytime, that could be me. And I see police officers quite often when I'm, you know, driving around with my parents and stuff. So I just think anytime, that could be me. Or I could be riding with my mom and it could be her, or with my dad and that could be him. Or, you know, when my younger brother grows up, that could be him in the future. Or my little sister, it could be her, even though she's only 13, but that could be her too. It doesn't matter. So it's just crazy because, you know, there are kids like, very, very young getting killed by the police, and that's just crazy, and it kind of breaks my heart to some extent. And it just makes me, you know, overall, like I said, fearful, because I don't know if that could be me. And, like, you know, like I said early on today, I was driving for Driver's Ed, and, you know, I was kind of nervous, because what if I get pulled over? But then I had to think, you know, everybody else in the car with me was white, so maybe that might not happen. I don't know. But it's just that hint of fear shouldn't be there when I know that I have my permit, I'm legally driving. You know, of course, I'm taking all the legal stops and turns and all that, because I'm in a driver's ed course, so why would I not? So it's just crazy that I would even have that, you know, fear. It's just crazy. And that's kind of, you know, why I like talking, I like discussing these issues, because it always goes back to, well, why am I fearful? Because, you know, when kids say, I want to be a police officer, they usually say, I want to be a police officer so I can protect people or save people or be a hero. But, you know, that's not even what people think of as police officers anymore. They don't think of police officers as, you know, our heroes and protectors and savers. They, when they think of heroes and stuff, they just think of, you know, like maybe teachers and ambulances or doctors and stuff like that. So it's crazy that, you know, it's gotten to a point where people don't even think of police as, you know, well, I know not all people, but a lot of people in the black community, though, they don't, and they never have really thought of police officers as our protectors and heroes, which we should be able to think. But, you know, because of what they do to our communities and what they have done for centuries and centuries, we don't get that, you know, when I'm around a police officer, I feel protected. When the police officer is next to me, I feel like, you know, I'm safe. Or when a police officer drives by my house, I don't think that they're going to get out and come talk to me and say this and that and then shoot me. We shouldn't have to think that. And that's just what's mind-boggling to me, that I have to think that because I'm black, because the color of my skin, something that I cannot change, something that I was born with, that's my thought process. That's just so crazy. So crazy. Mm.
You know, you ladies, let me compliment you first. Very powerful topic that y'all are very passionate about today. I applaud you. So let me say something to you. Being trained as a police officer, a lot of the tactics that they are using, unless they're getting some type of new good old boy training, is not proper tactics and training. You should never have to have your knee on anyone's neck, first and foremost, okay? With that many police officers on one man, they had him subdued in the beginning when he went to the ground. He was already done, okay? You said about the young lady that the police shot, she had a knife in her hand. Absolutely right. He should not be a police officer. He should go to jail for murder, because you do not have to subdue anyone like that. In training for a job like that, security police officers, a lot of them go through a lot of the same training, not as intense as a police officer through the academy. But when you are in a situation like that, you're taught only if there's bodily harm coming your way or to someone else. And the first, that was the purpose of buying tasers for all the police officers, to eliminate pulling out your gun. Okay. And no one is pulling tasers. Everybody's pulling guns. So to me, that is an intentional aim to murder, because truth be told, there's no way that you can get a handgun and a taser, a hand taser, confused just because of the way that they're made. Not even just their weight, but the way that they're made. The grips on them are different from a Glock 9mm to a hand taser. Two different things. You can tell it by the feel of your... A blind man will know that he's not holding a gun if you put a taser in his hand. Okay? But I'm going to go back with you for a second. Police brutality has been around forever. And it's always been about racial profiling. It's always been the target on the black man or the black woman's back. Always. Always. Even before I was born. And I'm gonna throw a little, not a story, but I'm gonna say this to you. And you got to remember now, the Romans did brutality and murdered Jesus as well. Read the story. Same thing. They didn't have guns then; they had whips and swords and different type of antique weapons. So it's been going on for a long time. So let me ask y'all something. I would love for all three of y'all to answer this before we go into the top of the hour. When it comes to police brutality, and you said something about due process, when it comes to police brutality and them doing what they're doing, do you think that, and Ray Bell, you said that everybody deserves due process, but when there's video of your guilt, do you think that there needs to be due process for that person when there's video of their guilt of murder right there on national television? Should there be you talked about that earlier. Why should there not be a trial, and do you think that they deserve due process? How you feel about that? Each one of y'all, please answer that.
Okay, I'll go first. I don't personally think or believe that there should be a trial, and I don't think they deserve due process. But, you know, the way that our court system works and the way that our laws work, right, state that they deserve process. So I don't believe personally, I feel like if there's a video of you murdering somebody, you should go straight to jail. I feel like, you know, because if there's a video of me, you know, having a knife and stabbing somebody and then they die, I feel like I would probably go straight to jail. I don't know if I would probably get due process, but I don't know. But I feel like if there's a video of you murdering somebody, that you deserve due process. And I feel like what they try to spin it on to tell black people and other people, not even just black people, other people who were saying he didn't deserve due process, they were saying, oh, well, he deserves it because George Floyd could have had drugs in his system. And George Floyd also had a heart condition because he used to be addicted. So I think it was opioids or Percocets. I don't remember. But so he also has a heart condition. So that could have killed him. But even if, you know, I think even if he didn't go to jail for murder, he should have went to jail regardless. I don't care if, you know, they said, oh, well, he didn't kill him. The drugs in his system killed him. I think he still should have went to jail. And, I mean, he did go to jail rightfully for murder. But I think that if he didn't go to jail for murder, he should still be in jail regardless. That's my opinion because, you know, he did an unlawful act, in my opinion. So it doesn't matter what you try to spin it, how you try to spin it, he deserves jail time, in my opinion. And I don't think he deserves due process because, like you said, there was a video of him actually killing him, you know, on camera. But I think because of the way our laws are set up and because, and I think, you know, white supremacists would try to spin that on us if we were to say, you know, he doesn't deserve due process. I just feel like that would try to be spit on us. So I feel like, you know, I feel like it's right that he got it, but in my, like, opinion deep down, I don't think so, to summarize.
Okay. All right. Shakira?
Yeah, I agree with Ray. I feel like it should be tried if there's enough evidence to back up the situation. Like, I feel like there's a full video, so you really don't need a trial to prove that he is guilty.
Hmm. Okay. Layla?
I agree with both of with what they're saying. There shouldn't have been a trial. He should have just went straight to jail. Also, I wanted to say the problem that's always been around is that white people are innocent until proven guilty, and black people are guilty until proven innocent. And even though George Floyd died that day, he was guilty. They wanted him to be guilty of his own death. He was guilty of his own death until he was proven innocent of his own death. And the man who killed him was innocent until proven guilty of the murder he committed, even though there was a full video of him doing it. They still wanted to make him be out innocent until proven guilty. But George Floyd, the man who was dead, who couldn't even stand up for himself, guilty of his own murder. And that's the problem, that black people will always be guilty until proven innocent, and white people will always be innocent until proven guilty. Even when there's full evidence or a whole bunch of witnesses, that's the way that it always will be. Well, that's the way it always has been. It has been, and that needs to change. So, there was no need for a trial. But that's just how the justice system works. That's just how the world right now works for us. That's just how it works right now. They're innocent until proven guilty, and we're guilty until proven innocent.
Okay.
The people who are seen it with the witnesses, they had to even call up a child who witnessed that, and I feel like no child should have to witness that. And a lot of people, it's taking a toll on a lot of children these days because they have to be taught how to act when the police come, because they, like, a lot of children are taught, don't question the police, don't do this, do what they say. And like I seen in, in the Central Park 5, how one of their dads was like, just do this so we can get up out of here. Like, tell him to lie to get up out of here. And I just felt like that was wrong because he had to lie on some innocent boys just to go home. And the police was telling them, you can't go home until you tell the truth.
Okay. Wow. Well, I tell you what, we get ready to go into the top of the hour. This has been a great conversation. I'm looking forward to kicking off the second hour. I want to say this, though. With everything that is going on around all of us, and especially with police brutality, and it does not have to stay this way. Here's the thing. It's going to take your generation to make the changes in the land. It's really going to take your generation coming together and really stepping up against these issues and these laws that have been put before us that are put against us. And it's going to take y'all to stand up and start speaking up and speaking out, just like doing this show right here, talking about these issues. It doesn't matter who gets upset about what you are talking about, because these are things that you're concerned about. And if we get upset because you are concerned about it, we have a problem. And truth be told, we have a major problem in our community. We have a major problem in our homes, in our families, and we need to have it fixed. And this was a show a while back we did about that gap between the young people and the parents, and the young people and the adults. That gap needs to be closed, because if things stay the way that they are, it's going to be worse for you all. And it's going to be worse for the generation after you all. So, thank y'all for stepping up and saying something and talking about these things. We get ready to kick off the second hour. Get involved in the conversation. I'm telling you, these are powerful young ladies, man. They bringing it. 858-357-9137. If you don't want to talk to them, they definitely going to talk to you. We're going to kick off the second hour. Hey, you're listening to Breaking Chains. YAT Radio is on. It's the Youth Talk. Right here. Let's do it, y'all. We breaking chains. Hang on.
Put us in a pit and drag us down by our shoes. but we saved by grace. So ain't nothing he can do. Trust in the Lord, man, that he will see you through. Hey,
hell, hell, I ain't coming.
Time to get the conversation started. Young Adults Talk presents Breaking Change, You Talk. Let's sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and how they feel about the society they live in today. It's Breaking Change, You Talk, every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back, relax, and let's enjoy the conversation being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to the show as we kick off this second hour. It's Youth Talk, and I tell you, we're talking about police brutality today. And this is a serious conversation, and let's get back into the conversation. Listen, okay, here's something. Y'all talked about the lady police officer that killed a young man, and also you talked about the recently the police officer that killed the young lady. Okay, so with those two police officers, do you feel that they deserve the same charges and prison time, just like this last cop that killed George Floyd? How do y'all feel about that? Because, you know, she talked about she confused the gun with the taser, been on the job over 20 years. And here's a cop who kills a 16-year-old female young lady, right? You mean to tell me that he didn't have the strength to, you know what I'm saying, to defuse that, de-escalate that situation, you know, and he was not the only officer there. So how do y'all feel about what should come their way?
I personally think that, because I'm pretty sure Derek Chauvin, he got like 40 years or something similar to that. I think, you know, him and the lady who apparently confused the gun, I feel like they deserve around the same time, or they both deserve more than 40 years. But I think they both deserve, you know, around the same time, because I don't believe she, you know, I feel like the fact that it was an accident should be totally disregarded and thrown out the window during her trial, because she's a veteran police officer. I could tell probably. I could tell the difference between a taser and a gun, and I don't even know how to shoot a gun or use a taser, and I could tell the difference between both. And you know, tasers and guns work differently, so you know, there's just the fact that she mixed them up, you know, has to be some crazy lie. And even if she did, I feel like for her to mix them up, she would have had to be drunk or on drugs, which she should be charged if she was drunk or on drugs. So I feel like her and Derek Chauvin deserve around the same time. And I think, you know, I think the police officer who killed, you know, Makai Bryant, I think he deserves, you know, around that same time or more, because, you know, she was a young child. And then I think, you know, the police officers who were there, you know, when Makai Bryant was shot, as well as, you know, when George Floyd was killed, I feel like those police officers who, even though they didn't do it, they should also be held accountable, because they didn't do anything to stop it. Like, the police officers who were surrounded by Derek Chauvin, they didn't do anything to stop him from kneeling on George Floyd's neck. And the other police officer, I'm not sure, if he did anything to stop him, but I didn't hear him say anything, you know, when the gun was pulled out or any of that. So I think they should be held accountable. They should either, you know, lose their job or, you know, have some kind of unpaid time off, sentence a couple years. I don't know exactly what I feel would be necessary for them, but I feel like they deserve punishment as well because, you know, I was, you know, in school, you know, they taught us that if you're not the bully, you're just as bad as the bully if you're watching somebody get bullied. So I feel like that same thing should kind of be applied. And then, you know, for normal civilians, if you witness a murder, you know, and you don't do anything about it or you don't tell anyone, then you're an accessory to murder. So I feel like they should be charged as accessories to murder because they watched people be murdered. They were innocent and they didn't do anything about it. So I feel like they should be charged, you know, as accessories to murder or fire or given unpaid time off, you know, something to that extent because they are accountable as well, in my opinion. Because if you don't stick up for the rights of black people or you don't stick up for the rights of people in general, you're just as bad as those people who murdered them. You might as well have murdered them if you didn't do anything to stop that murder or you're not trying your best or you didn't say no stop or what are you doing? Or you didn't even, you know, have a reaction. So I feel like if you did that, once again, you are just as accountable as the person who did it, and you might as well have done it yourself. Point blank, in my opinion.
Okay.
I feel like they all deserve around the same time or more because they all try to cover up what they did as a mistake. And I feel like it's not a mistake. How can you make that, like, Derek Chauvin was on George Floyd's head for 9 minutes, and she mixed her taser up for a gun, and he shot a girl for no reason. I just feel like them was a mistake, especially when he shot Makai Bryant. That was, I feel like all of it was intentional, and they knew what they was doing. They go through all this training and say, oh, it was just a mistake. You can't go through all for that long and for it to be a mistake. So I just feel like they all should have the same, around the same time of war, and like Ray said, the police officers who was there with them deserve some time too because they could have prevented it.
Okay. Next.
I definitely agree with everything on Ray and Jakira is saying because the other police officers didn't try to stop either events from happening, especially on the George Floyd situation. But because they could have stopped him and they didn't. I can see more of the other situation. Officer quickly pulls out a gun and shoots, and them not being able to stop him. I can see more of that situation happening. But with the George Floyd situation, they could have got him off his neck or tried to do something about what was going on, and they didn't. And they chose to stand by and let him kill him. But with the other situation, I'm not exactly sure because he could have pulled out the gun quickly and shot the girl. I'm not exactly sure of all the details that went down, so I don't really want to say anything about that situation or about the other officer. But the officer who did shoot the girl definitely deserves some time in jail.
Okay. Well, I can say this from being trained with handguns and tasers and stuff like that. Let me say this. A taser could have been used on a young lady, even if she was attempting to stab someone. A taser could have took her down immediately. Okay? 50,000 volts hitting you is not a wonderful feeling. Okay, let me say that to you. 50,000 volts is a lot of volts to hit you. Definitely will knock you completely off your feet. Whatever's in your hand will drop out your hand. So didn't have to be hit with a bullet, okay? The young man in the car, she said that she made a mistake. I say once again, you can't make that type of mistake because your taser is on a different side from where you wear your gun, okay? So, so now that we've talked about the police side of it when it comes to police brutality, let's talk about the victims. Of the police brutality. Let me ask this question. And those that are out there listening, let's not just point the finger to one side because then we sound racist. Let's talk about our young people, our brothers and sisters, our people of color? Are we acting accordingly and decent and in order? And are we being, you know what I'm saying, unruly, or are we being unruly to cause the police to have this type of apprehensive mode that they are in when they have to deal with us? Are we making them feel this way? Are we doing anything to cause this? And we got to, I got to ask this question now, because like I said, we can't sound racist now. Are we doing anything to cause these problems to come? Nobody, I'm not going to say we're doing anything to cause us to be murdered, but are we causing some type of uneasiness in the police department as a people?
I want to say that, you know, there could be, you know, black people causing these types of issues, but, you know, the black people are causing these types of issues because of the police. So it's kind of like, I feel like it's a counter-reaction, because as we know, the police were put into place right after slavery to still keep black people locked up and as slaves, because it is and was the law that, you know, people, if they are, you know, in prison, they can still be slaves. So the slave system was put into place. I mean, not the slave system. The police system was put into place to keep us as slaves. So they were arresting black people for petty crimes and, you know, doing little things, so which made black people enraged. So this enraged, you know, they took it out on the police. So that's why people say, you know, F the police, this, that, da, 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 da. So, you know, I do think black people do have, you know, this negative attitude that might make police, you know, more aware of them or more attentive to them. But that attitude is caused by the police and the police system. And, you know, black people being more likely to carry drugs or whatever, that's because drugs were pushed in our neighborhoods to keep us in the police system. So while we may have these attitudes that may make the police, you know, more, you know, likely to pull over a black person or stop a black person when they might just be, you know, walking across the street, while police may be likely to do that because of how black people act, they are the reason why we act this way, in my opinion. So I think that, you know, while we might be doing these things, it's their fault that these things are happening. And, you know, once again, like you said, even if it doesn't matter if a black person is, you know, having drugs or, you know, committing a crime, they don't deserve to be murdered on the spot. They don't. Absolutely. And even if I think about this so much, even if a police officer has come to the situation where he or she has to shoot someone, if they come to that situation, why do they not shoot someone where they can't run? Like, I think about that all the time. Why do you not shoot them, like, in their legs so they can't get up and they can't run away? Or why do you not shoot them in their arm? Or why do you not tase them? Or why do you not try your best to de-escalate that situation? Why does every shot have to be a fatal shot? That's in my opinion. And I know sometimes police are in, you know, severe situations where, you know, they have to shoot and it has to be a fatal shot, which is understandable. But a lot of these situations aren't situations where that has to happen. And like you said, you know, I do think sometimes, you know, black people do have this certain attitude and stigma towards the police, which can make the police, you know, more likely to arrest and detain us. But the problem is that they're causing these attitudes. And they're not arresting and detaining us. They're shooting us and taking our lives away from us. And, you know, justice is not being able to be properly served, because you cannot give someone justice after they're dead. Like, you know, I absolutely do think that people should go to jail. But once someone is dead and gone, you know, you can't give them justice, because you can never bring them back. They're gone. They're forever. You can't bring them back. So, you know, like I said, just to reiterate one more time, yes, I do think black people have these attitudes and stigmas and behaviors that might make the police more, you know, attentive and, you know, keep their eye out for black people more. But I think they, as in police officers and the system and, you know, systematic oppression and racism, has caused black people to have these attitudes and do these things and have these behaviors towards not only the police, but these behaviors in general. Whew, that was a handful.
But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kira, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I agree with Ray because I feel like it is the police fault because a lot of police do tend to pull over black people because they look suspicious. I feel like police officers don't even be pulling black people over for like a reason, like a straightforward reason. It's just because you look suspicious. And I feel like even if we do have these attitudes, if your job is to serve and protect, you shouldn't be scared of nobody. Like if you feel like black people if you feel like black people is a threat, you shouldn't be a police.
I agree. That's good. I agree. All right, Layla.
I don't think us as black people are doing anything wrong or anything, because as a police officer, it's their job to not be racist to a certain group or stereotype a certain group or anything like that. No matter how certain black people act, that shouldn't be what they be thinking about, because it's their job to serve and protect all people. And most of the time these things happen is rooted in the fact that these police officers are just racist. They're racist, and that's what that problem is most of the time. And I feel like that has nothing to do with how certain black people act, because the way certain black people act, certain white people act the same way. And it doesn't matter because they're white, so they get away with it. But since we're black, we don't get away with it. And that's rooted in like that, and that's coming from back and from the beginning when we were slaves and all of that. People are still racist and all of that. It doesn't matter how we act, how we look. All of us could act a certain way, and they would still judge us just because we're black. No matter if there's people who talk like they ghetto, I guess, or anything like that. It doesn't matter because in their eyes, we're black people, and we're below them, or that's just how they're always going to see us. Back to the movie that Ray said we watched, Two Distant Strangers, the black man, he was coming from his lady friend or whatever place. He was coming out and he had his back on. He bumped into this other person, and then the white cop who was just standing out there, the man not doing nothing wrong, he just walking trying to go home. He stops him for no reason, just because he's black. He stops him and he sees that he has a whole bunch of cash in his pocket, and he assumes, oh, this black man got a whole bunch of cash. He got to be a drug dealer or something like that. And that wasn't the case. The man had a good job, and he was just carrying his money with him like that. He had a good job. He wasn't a drug dealer or anything like that. But this white police officer assumes that just because he's black, and that's not a black people's problem or fault. Even if some of us are drug dealers or whatever, as a police officer, that's not how you should be going about your job or anything like that. So it is their fault. It doesn't have anything to do with the way we act or the way we go about things or anything like that.
Okay. And I wanted to say, like, I do feel like it's our attitude, but I just don't feel like it's us in general, because there are a lot of white people that tend to act like the black person, but they never go through what we have to go through. They do the same exact thing that we do. And I've just seen plenty of videos where white people can use their white privilege to save their black friends because they know they have privilege. And even a white person could be looking suspicious and the police wouldn't do nothing, but if it's a black person, you could still get pulled over. So I just feel like it's not us in general, it's just the way we act, how we are alert, and we know what's going on, and we know what can happen to us.
Okay. I like I like your answers because it, you know, it's so true. One thing about it is that we are the target because, for number one, and I'm sure y'all know this, they know who we are. We come from royalty. We're the original kings and queens of the earth, okay? So they're going to always try to find a way to hold us down and to keep us back. And that gap of 400 years of slavery, being enslaved, was to keep us back and to hold us down. Okay, with everything that y'all know today, with everything that y'all are talking about right now, let me ask you this. With everything that you know, the laws that you study, and the situations that you see occurring around you, what is your solution? What is your solution? Tell me your solution. Go ahead, Raybelle.
My solution, one thing that I know would take a long time is refining laws, because these laws have been set in place for a long time. But I think that's one solution. But another solution, and I'm pretty sure I said this when we talked about the justice system, but it's heavier and longer police training. We don't need our police to be, you know, going in there after however long they're trying. I'm not sure. I don't know. But, you know, I feel like you should go to police training for 4 years, just like you would go, you know, because doctors and police officers both protect each other. But the difference in the time they have to train to do these jobs is so much different. And I know their jobs are very different. But, you know, it shouldn't be as a great difference as there is. I feel like to be a police officer, you should have to go to training for 4 years. And also, I feel like, in my opinion, you should have to have, like, you know, a 2-year college education or something like that, and, like, major in law. So you know, you really, really know the laws. I feel like that is what should change, our police system and, you know, how we're training these police officers. Because, like I said earlier, when I was watching Derek Chauvin's case, they actually said that method of kneeling on the neck, that is something they're taught in police training. So I think that's where it starts. We should start by training our police better and for a longer period of time. And also changing this police training, training our police officers to de-escalate situations, so they don't build up to where you have to shoot someone. And also, to not, you know, see a person's skin color when they go in to address a situation. They shouldn't see, the first thing they shouldn't see is skin color. The first thing they should see is someone is in help and I need to restrain the person who is causing this harm and help out the person who is in danger. They should, you know, that's what they should be taught. So, you know, overall, just changing the way police officers are taught is my main thing that would be, you know,
okay. Okay. Thank you very much. Jakira, your solution?
My solution would be the police training, like Ray said. I feel like I have heard that all police get the same training. I feel like it should be certain groups of police where you learn different things. And I feel like all police officers shouldn't need a gun. Like, I just feel like you should be able to call the police and they... where Ray said it's a situation where you don't need a gun, so you can call
unit
police officer. Yes, that unit of the police. And then if they do need a gun, I feel like you should be able to call that number, because I just feel like all police do not need a gun, because all police don't know how to use a gun. They don't know what situation to use a gun in.
All right.
So that's my solution.
That's good. Different units, okay, and actually they do have different units within the police department, but all of them have guns over here, so yeah, I like that. All right, Layla, your solution?
Yeah, I agree with everything Ray and Jakira have said. The laws do need to change. They're old laws. They've been in place for a long time. They need to be looked over. They need to change them. There needs to be something new happening, because the laws that we have now, they're not helping. They're not helping anybody but the white man, and that's not a good thing. And yeah, like I said earlier, and like they just said,
there are situations where police don't need guns, and they shouldn't have a gun in those situations, because they feel like they're in a position where they're allowed to pull out that gun at any moment at any time. So they shouldn't always have these guns when they don't need these guns. And yeah, they need to go to school, academy, whatever. They need to be trained longer than what they are, because right now anybody could be a police officer, and that shouldn't be the case. Not anybody should be a police officer. And there definitely should be like different units for different people trained in specific situations, like a police officer who's trained to deal with people with mental health issues. Those are the only police officers that should go out in those situations, because all of them don't know how to handle that type of person. And they I don't know if they do, but they definitely should be training them how to deal with those people, because they definitely even if they are being trained to know how, they definitely they weren't paying attention or something, because they definitely don't know how to deal with a person who has mental health issues. So there's a lot of things that needs to be changed for us to grow and get better as a whole.
That's good. Y'all got some powerful solutions there. So here's something for you. So with your solutions that you have, and you got so much more inside of you, I know we just don't have a lot of time to even go through it. We would need a whole day to talk about this. So let me ask you something. Everything that we've discussed this evening and the solutions that you just spoke out of your mouth, but the solutions that you still have on your mind for all of the topics that we've discussed for the past few weeks, would you be willing? And this is, I want everybody to answer this now. Are you willing, capable, and able to sit down and discuss with lawmakers and even law enforcement and government to talk about new laws and to rewrite things? Would you be willing to do that? Each one of y'all answer that. Are you capable and able and ready to do that?
I would be willing to do it, but I think like before I think I'm capable of, you know, talking to police officers, but before I talk to like lawmakers and law officials, I think I need to kind of, you know, study up some more about laws, because while I do know some, there's not, it's much more that I could learn about it. So I would kind of, before I start talking to, you know, people who are lawmakers, I don't want to go in there and not know exactly what I'm talking about without, you know, a mission and a plan and a set out goal, and, you know exactly what I would like to, you know exactly, you know, this law needs to be changed this way and this one needs to be removed, you know, stuff like that. So I'm willing to, and I want to, and stuff like that. And obviously, you know, I would be very, very scared or nervous to do this, but, you know, and if I ever had the opportunity, I would. But before I do that, I would, you know, I feel like I need to take time and, you know, study up laws and read more about them, because like I said, I don't know if I said this, but, you know, we don't learn that much about laws in school, so we don't learn as much as we should. So I would take time out to learn more before I did that.
I do know that, but my thing is with you saying that. So once you study up on it, you are willing to do this, though, correct?
Yeah, I think, because I mean, if somebody has to do it, so why not let that person be me?
Okay, all right. Just got to put that out there. Takira, how about you?
Yes, I am willing to do it, but like Ray said, I feel like I need more research, and I feel like I wouldn't be able to do it alone. I just feel like I would be able to do it as a whole community, like have everybody come together and talk about it first and then go in, so I can have people to back me up with and people that feel the same as me, because I feel like I probably wouldn't be taken serious if I was to do it at this age. So I would just need people to back me up.
to do it, but I will be willing to do it when I have all the research that I need.
Okay. So let me say something to you. Your age doesn't matter. Because you have people to back you up. You got people over here to back you up already with the Breaking Chains Ministry. We spread out everywhere. We got you back. My thing is to get you to start. Let's start with one. Start working on one thing. Start working on police brutality. Don't worry about anything else but police brutality. Start studying the laws and everything on it, and let's break the chains on it. Layla, how about you? You down?
Yeah, I will absolutely talk about it. Because who's better to talk about the situation than the people that it's happening to, and B, the next generation who's going to have to deal with the situations that we are now, who's going to have to deal with this stuff if the laws are still the same and as these things are still happening. So I feel like us as Black girls and being the next generation, we're the people who would be very good to talk about the situation.
Absolutely. Totally agree, ladies. Go ahead.
I just want to say one thing about what Layla just said about we are the next generation, because a lot of people, when, you know, people meet and Jakira and Layla's age, when we talk about politics and political issues, they're like, why are you talking about this? You're so young. But what people don't understand is in the next voting term, all of us are going to be able to vote. Like, so why wouldn't we start talking about these issues now? Like, that's just my thing, because especially when the election was going on, they were like, why are y'all in high school talking about these issues? Y'all aren't even old enough to vote. As if in the next voting term, we won't be able to vote. Like, and by the time the next voting term comes, I'm going to be 19, and Layla and Jakira are going to be, like, 20. So I think I'm going to be 19, and Jakira and Layla are going to be around 20 and 19. So why wouldn't we be talking about this now so we can be prepared?
And what people don't even understand is that the president is, you're not even just voting for the president. And a lot of people who went to vote, they don't know that. Like, because they wasn't talking about this stuff at our age. They didn't know all the things that they needed to know when it was time for them to go vote. And they were confused and they didn't understand, or they didn't know what they were supposed to be doing. But since we are talking about it and we are learning about it, when the time does come and we see our choices, I'm going to be able to pick the best person to lead us, and I'm going to be able to understand exactly what I'm supposed to be doing when I go to vote.
Yes, indeed. Now, see, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about, ladies. Get on it. Start working on it right now. Because one thing about it is that, listen, if we don't do anything about it, it's going to continue to happen. If we don't say anything about it, they're going to continue to do it. So it's time to speak up and speak out and say enough is enough. We've had enough of this. And it takes your generation to make sure that that's said loud and clear as well. And whether or not that they want to take you serious, as long as you are speaking up and speaking out, doesn't matter how they feel about it, just as long as you do it. Hey, we're going to take our final music break right here. We come back, we're going to get our ladies' final comments, and we're going to get up out of here. You're listening to Breaking Chains. It's Youth Talk on YAT Radio, 858-357-9137. You want to shoot them an email, webreakingchains@gmail.com. Listen to the live stream, www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. We on our grind, y'all. We breaking chains.
Yeah, this your world, God, and everything in it. I see you, homie. I guess they think because, hey, Bob, we serve you, right? You told me we supposed to slack like up, this, man. Uh-huh. But now that I know what I'm fighting for, let's get
we
in.
Go harder. We on our
mind. I'm gonna waste your time. I slow lane about the city, let you waste mine. I'm sick of seeing young boys out there dying. You go and handle your
I'm on my grind.
mind. I'm on my grind, cousin. Granny told your boy that she was proud of me, that I was off the streets and the boy was still thuggin'. I told her, granny, baby, don't you worry about nothing. If it ain't about the Lord, then your boy ain't budgin'. Man, I never did think myself. The word of God'll make your boy wanna hoopstep. Granny told me that the Lord'll meet me hoopstep. He's still working on me, granny. I told a homie we gon' take it to the block and post up in the hood like we still selling rocks. The only difference is we ain't worried about the cops. Fool on my own, we ain't worried about the shots. Flame told me gon' take it to the streets. It's dudes in the hood that the Lord gon' reach. If it mean me die, Lord still seeing me. We bout to get it in if it mean no sleep. I'm on my mind. Don't waste your time. I soul ain't about to sit and let you waste mine. I'm super seeing young boys out there dying. I'm on my grind, cousin. I'm on the road headed to another show. I asked the Lord if he seen me, yeah, I go. Mama happy, she ain't gotta worry no more. But the law pulled me over like I'm still selling dope. I told him I ain't trying to go and flip a pound. I'm trying to show him Christ before they put him in the ground. Before them boys catch him, hit him with another round. Since I met the Lord, this the way it's going down. If I'm in your city, take me to the block. Jesus real, homie, I tell it to the cops. Without a bullhorn, I yell it on the block. I wasn't ashamed when I was out there trying to sell a rock. Jason told me go take it to the streets. It's dudes in the hood that the Lord gon' reach. We bout to go hard if it mean no sleep. And we can get it in, no rhymes, no beats. I'm on my mind. Don't waste your time. I soul ain't about to sit and let you waste mine. I'm super seeing young boys out there dying. You go and handle yours and I'm gon' give you mine. I'm on my grind, cousin.
I'm on my grind, cousin. I'm on my grind, cousin. Leave the hood alone, man. Go on, let them roll by. But I'm tired of seeing guys dying from the 4-5. No lie, I'm praying they get to know God. So I'm on the grind with the mind of the Most High. I'm in the hood showing love to a bunch of cats.
What?
Who be all up in the club blowing guns and sacks.
Right.
Screaming life is more than blood, girls and money stacks. Tell him by his blood and he's coming back. They by the streetlight, holding on the heat tight. Set tripping down to lose their life in the street fight. I'm knowing they should seek Christ.
Why?
Cause by far death and jail bars is all you gon' get out of the street life.
Yeah.
Gon' take it to the thugs, GG, grip clicks and the West Side blood. Even hard-head jeans, you just see guys love. When them choppers go back, after that, it's a shud. Come on,
mind. Don't waste your time. I soul ain't about to sit and let you waste mine. I'm sick of seeing young boys out there dying. You go and handle yours and I'm gonna do mine. I'm on my grind, cousin.
Breaking Chains, YET Radio, it's Youth Talk. What's going on? Your co-host, Pastor Rod, that's me. Our young ladies are here, and they breaking chains, man. Ladies, y'all had a very powerful show today. Very proud of what y'all have done and what you are doing. It is awesome, is awesome. And just keep up the good work. We're going to do some things. We're not going to talk about it on the air anymore. We're just going to come out and break chains in their face. All right? Okay, ladies. Come on out with your final comments, starting with you, Ray Bell. Final comments for the evening.
My final comments would just be, you know, as a community, we should start working together. Definitely, like we were just saying, our resolution to start studying up on laws and, you know, police brutality and where it stems from and just learning about all this so we can come together to help combat these issues. Because these issues are, you know, harming our community so much. And so many people are losing their lives because of these issues. So I think, you know, definitely we should, you know, study up and learn about these things. Because these things
you know, it might not be your family member, or it might not be you or your mom, your dad, your cousin, but it could be. So, you know, we should learn about these things before it gets there. Or if it gets there, learn what steps to take to resolve that issue.
That's good. That's good. Thank you for that. That's real good. All right, Shakira, how about you? Final comments, man?
My final comment is, don't be scared to speak up about what's going on in your community. Don't be scared to have a voice, because you are a part of everything that's going on. You can prevent it. And be alert of what's going on, because it can happen to you. So I just feel like you should be alert and prepare yourself for what can happen.
That's good. That's good. Thank you very much. Layla, your final comment?
My final comment is to always speak out about these situations, because if they won't speak up about it, we have to do it for ourselves, and we have to get change, we have to talk, and we have to bring about everyone's attention. So we need to come together as a community and try to get change. Not just for yourself, but for your family, for the future generations, for other people's families, for the ones that we have already lost. We've lost a lot of black people, and just in 2020 and 2021, we've lost a lot of black people. So we need to change something for them.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right. You know, we thank everybody for taking a listen to the show today. Tell everybody to, you know, they can go in the archives and listen to the show later and pass it on to their friends. Listen, let's come together with our young people and make changes in our communities, and make sure that we get people to understand. Listen, there was a saying made by Miss Josephine St. Pierre Ruffin, and I said it on the air last night, and I'm going to use it tonight too. She says, too long have we been silent under unjust and unholy charges. We cannot expect to have them removed until we disprove them through ourselves. In other words, if we want change, we have to make change, and it starts with us. It starts with the person that you see in the mirror every morning. It starts in your house, and then we can take it outside and come together in unity as a community and make changes for our people. So can we start doing that? If our young people are willing to do it, why can't everybody else join in with them? Since we can't take the lead, if they want to take the lead, let's let them take the lead and assist them in making the change for our people. Amen. Thank you. Ladies, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hang on a second, ladies. We got to do our Black History honoree for today. Our Black History honoree today is Miss Ida B. Wells Barnett. Miss Ida B. Wells Barnett cultivated persistence and fortitude at a young age. When she was 16 years old, a yellow fever epidemic took the lives of her parents, and she was forced to secure a teaching job to support her siblings. After her friend was lynched, Wells Barnett started investigating and writing about white mob violence. Her work proved controversial, and she was forced to move from Memphis, Tennessee to Chicago, Illinois, over concerns for her safety. She then took her anti-lynching campaign across both the United States and overseas. Wells Barnett would go on to confound the National Association of Colored Women's Club, and even though she was part of the organizing of the NAACP, her name is not listed as an official founder. Ladies and gentlemen, our Black History honoree, Miss Ida B. Wells Barnett. All right. Don't forget, take better care of yourself. We need you to start exercising, working out, doing some side strata hops, sit-up crunches, and doing some stretching to take better care of your bodies. Everybody, I need you to drink 64 ounces of water every day. That's the minimum amount of water you're supposed to put in your body. If you don't know what 64 ounces of water is, that you can just grab, go get you a bottle of water, 16-ounce bottle of water, drink four of those a day. Or you could get 8 glasses, put 8 ounces of water in it, and drink those. That's the minimum amount of water you should drink on a daily basis. Do your exercises, eat your vegetables, eat your fruits, cut back on all the fried foods, and guess what? I need you to become a vegetarian at least one day out of the week. Don't put no meat in your system for at least one day out of the week. How about that? We need to get you healthy mentally, physically, and most importantly, spiritually. Everybody, young people out there, pick up the Bible and study the Word of God to show yourself approved before God and stop trying to impress these men and women out here and impress God. And guess what? Start praying. Pray to God about every situation you're dealing with. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. The scriptures say the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. We love you. God bless you. Which one of you ladies is going to pray us out?
I'll do it. Okay. Please bow your heads. Father God, thank you for this day. Thank you for bringing us all together to talk about these important issues that have been affecting our communities and infecting our communities. I want to say thank you for everyone who's listening to us right now, who's, you know, listening to what we have to say. Thank you for bringing us together once again. Thank you for keeping a roof over my head, keeping my grandma healthy, my mom healthy. Thank you for keeping everyone else healthy. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you very much, ladies. Powerful show. Looking forward to next week's topic. I tell you, this was good. Well, boy, look at here. Break chains, ladies. That's good. Don't forget, tomorrow morning at 10:15, no matter where you are, can you just pause for a minute and go into and say a prayer with us, because we'll be in a visual prayer. The Breaking Chains prayer visual is every Saturday morning at 10:15. So if you could just pause and say a prayer with us. May 1st is tomorrow. You know, time is speeding on by, y'all. And let's get involved. Don't forget, we'll be back on the air this Sunday, 5 p.m., Raising the Sound. All right? And we're going to have a great time. And anything else that you ladies like to say before we get out of here? Anything else you got before we go? Everybody's good?
Yep.
Okay. So, ladies, we thank y'all for such a powerful show. Thank you for being here. And we'll see you back here next week. And have yourself a wonderful weekend. Enjoy the rest of your weekend and enjoy your next week. And we'll see you next Friday. Remember, everybody here at Breaking Chains, we love you, young people, and we got your back no matter what. We'll see y'all back here Sunday, Raising the Sound with Slim Breeze and B Rocker right here on YAT Radio. Have a blessed evening. Peace out. We gone, y'all.
Breaking Chains. Thank you, oh Lord. In you, O Lord, oh, in you, O Lord, in you, O Lord, oh, in you, O Lord, in you, O Lord, oh, in you, O Lord, in you, O Lord, oh, oh, in you, O Lord. Jump in the shower, brush my teeth, wash my face with a rag and put on my black gear. Just for my collar, got the Lord on my mind as I swag and I'm praising only Him. Even though I'm walking through the valley with a shadow of death, I'm yelling, what evil can I fear? On the real, I believe in a man. I can do a whole lot, which is the faith of a mustard seed in a man. I got the faith that he's turning the situation, the faith in the rhyme is going down, cause I put my life in his hand like a mic on the sand. Man, I'm telling you, I ain't running from him no more. I'ma do what I gotta do to let my light show, cause I know eternal life ain't showing me like Ico. On the real though, super ill, floor is what he gave me. I'ma be whatever I gotta be, longer God in it. When he give me the orders, I'ma go handle my business.
And I'ma pull out the mission to stop the lie finish. It's on now. Feel like somebody forgot to me cause I'm on fire. When it comes to the word of God, call me Einstein. Cause a minute, flipping through these pages like a gymnast. When you speaking with all of your heart and no limits to what it revealing. Consider it in your heart and dealing with situations with the wisdom of God. I don't have to fight no battles, so I just give them to God. He gave me the grace to help and never living it hard. He's a true source, pulling out like a new Porsche. Looking at the past in the rear view. I'm just a living testimony of God's grace and mercy. On a mission delivering the good news. What about you?
When you
thank you for logging on. You've been listening to Breaking Chains and Youth Talk, heard every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Sit back and listen to our youth express how they feel about things going on in their lives and the society that they live in. It's Breaking Chains and Youth Talk every Friday, 5 p.m. Central Standard Time, right here on YAT Radio. Log on to www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. Shoot us an email at webreakingchains@gmail.com or call in and get involved in the conversation, 858-357-9137. It's Breaking Chains and Youth Talk on YAT Radio, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence. Being sponsored by Rotten Apple Productions.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.